used that word, I'm just thankful. I feel a little nice. I feel like it is the best for me to put my life in such a time. That's the only way I feel that way. This whole year, I mean, that stuff's breaking like that. You know, we don't know what tomorrow holds and things like that can happen. Great things happen. I'm just glad that the Lord loves us and leads him to grow and we can grow through him. I'm so grateful for that. Learn. I guess when I quit learning, I'll be home. I hope and pray that we'll let you learn the whole time I'm here. But I'm learning to depend on him with a whole lot more. And I'm just grateful that we get a part of the family. And I'm joyed talking to you all and hearing you talk about your life and feeling what you're doing. I'm good. We'll go ahead and pray. Does anyone have a prayer request? looking at this today, it's going to be in 1 Kings chapter 20. I don't know why, but it just seems like it had a little church on it in my mind about thinking that even though we might be small, I believe God recognizes us and knows who we are. He's our help. And I believe he loves us. And I believe that through him, by him, there's not anything that's impossible
for us to do. Not anything at all. We'll get that out. Thank you, Edwin. And seems like this scripture comes to my mind, but it's a story about Israel. And you know, over there for thousands of years, they've been constantly fighting, and I guess they always will till the Lord comes back. But it's a story about Syria, the king of Syria, coming up against Israel. And with God's help, they've gained a great two great victories. And we'll just go ahead and start with chapter 20. We'll just go ahead and start with verse 1. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his host together, and there were 32 kings with him, and horses and chariots, and he went up and besieged Samaria and warred against it. And he sent messengers to Ahab, king of Israel, into the city, and said to him, "Thus saith Ben-Hadad, thy silver and thy gold is mine, thy wives also, and thy children, even the goodliest are mine." That 1 Kings chapter 20. You know, that'd be a pretty hard thing to swallow right there, wouldn't it? And I probably wouldn't, I don't know. I guess I'm just not worried like King Ahab. Because I wouldn't have took that the way that he took it. We're going to see here in verse 4 how he took it. And the king of Israel answered and said, "My lord, O king," talking to Ben-Hadad, "I am thine and all that I have." Just get right into it. You know, this is people, you know, I guess what got my attention, this is people that trusted in God, the only true and living God. And he just, here, this opposition comes up against, and this king says, I'm gonna take all your silver, your gold, your wife, and your kids. And he just turns it and says, "Okay, I'll turn it over to you." And the, verse 5, "And the messengers came again and said, Thus speaketh Ben-Hadad, saying, although I have sent to thee, saying, thou shalt deliver me thy silver and thy gold and thy wives and children, yet I will send my servants unto thee tomorrow about this time, and they shall search thine house and the houses of thy servants, and it shall be that whatsoever is pleasant in thine eyes, they shall put it in their hand and take it away." And then he sends them a message again, says, "Whatever you got that I want, more or less, I'm going to take it. Anything that you cherish, I'm going to take it away from you." Verse 7, "Then the king of Israel called all the elders of the land and said, mark, I pray you, and see how this man seeth mischief, for he sent unto me for my wives and for my children and for my silver and for my gold, and I denied him not. And all the elders and all the people said to him, hearken not unto him, nor consent." And to me, that's the first good advice he received. Don't give in to him. And I got thinking about our little church here, how the devil rose up against it, fought it, trying to hinder and stuff in different ways, I'm not going to hearken to him. I don't want to hearken to him. In verse 9, wherefore he said unto the messengers of Benadad, tell my lord the king all that thou didst send for to thy servant. At the first I will do, but this thing I may not do. And the messengers departed and brought him word again. And Benadad sent unto him and said, thy gods do so unto me, and more also, if the dust of Samaria shall suffice for handfuls for all the people that follow me. And you know what he's trying to scare him? Look, I got a big army behind me, a number that you can't number, just trying to scare him up. And to me, that's what the world and the devil's trying to do to all of us now. Just trying to scare us up, keep us in a panic, but it ain't working. It just ain't working. Verse 11, and the king of Israel answered and said, tell him, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. And now I think he's kind of starting to confront him a little bit and tell him, you better watch his bridle. And it came to pass when Benadad heard this message, as he was drinking, he and the kings in the pavilions, that he said unto his servants, set yourself in array. And they set themselves in array against the city. And behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, king of Israel, saying, thus saith the Lord, thou hast seen all this great multitude. Behold, I will deliver it into thy hand this day, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. And Ahab said, by whom? And he said, thus saith the Lord, even by the young men of the princes of the provinces. Then he said, who shall order the battle? And he answered, thou. Then he numbered the young men of the princes of the provinces, and they were 232. And after them he numbered all the people, even all the children of Israel, being 7,000. And they went out at noon. But Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk in the pavilion, he and the king, the 32 kings that helped him. And the young men of the princes of the provinces went out first, and Ben-Hadad sent out, and they told him, saying, there are men come out of Samaria. But can you imagine 232 going up against 1,000? But that 232 knew God Almighty. He knew our God, the one that we serve. They knew him. And that, you know, I don't know how God thinks or how what's on his mind or anything. Can you imagine God sitting up there and saying, well, this is just a little thing. And just, you know, maybe just thinking, I can just flip them off like that, right? You ever been to a picnic or anything and they ain't start bothering you? You know what? I have to sit around and just flip them off. You know, get it. And I just imagine, to me, that in my mind, that's about the way it looks to God. You know, they're bothering me, I'll just flip them away. But verse 17, and the young men of the prince of the prophets went out first, and Ben-Hadad sent out, and they told him, saying, there are men come out of Samaria. And he said, whether they be come out for peace, take them alive, or whether they come out for war, take them alive. So these young men of the princes of the provinces came out of the city, and the army was following them, and they slew every one his man, and the Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, escaped on a horse with the horsemen. And the king of Israel went out and smote the horses and chariots and slew the Syrians with a great slaughter. Through the Lord, through God Almighty. Now, if you continue reading this, you'll find out that the Syrians, the prophet come and told him, he said, told Ahab, said, you better take note. Because in a year from now, they're going to come back. They're going to come back again. But the Assyrians, when they fled, and they said, well, we couldn't whoop them, we couldn't beat them, because their God is a God of the hill, a God of the mountain. And they said, we'll get them, we'll draw them down into the plain, down in the valley, and we'll take care of them there. But if you read on, you'll find out. And that's what they thought. They thought they got another big army together, and Israel gathered their little, and it says that what stood for Israel, the group that was like two little flocks of lambs. Can you tell what? When I think about this, what God can do for us, God knows us. He sees us. And He's grateful for us. He's our help. And it don't matter how big the devil gets, or how big he thinks he's going to get, or what kind of army he puts together, it don't matter. We've got God. And we've got Him here in our little church, and I thank God for that, and I'm grateful for that. And He's our help. And it don't matter how that the devil rises up against us. He's not only the God of the mountains when we're on the mountain, He's the God of the valley too. He's God everywhere. And I'm grateful for that, and I'm thankful for that. If you get time sometime, go read this. I was reading it today, and I tell you what, it blessed me when I got to think about our little church here that God loves. We don't know, through the Lord's help, what all we've done. There's no telling, you know, what's been accomplished, you know, through this little church over the years and in the past. You know, and a lot of people might not recognize it, and a lot of people might even drive by and not even notice it. But God knows where it's at. He knows exactly where it's at. And I'm just grateful for that and thankful for that. So, anyone have anything they'd like to do for the Lord?
If you read on down there, talking about the, says God's not the God, he's the God of the hill, not the God of the valley. I've got news for you. God's God, ain't he? Praise the Lord.
I wasn't sure, but Jesus confirmed it. You know, praise me, I've not sung this in a long, long time.
Things go wrong, He'll make them right.
God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to be here tonight. Appreciate everybody coming. Hope you guys are good already. God's good to us. The Lord knows, He knows all things, don't He? Is everybody done? We do apologize for running late, but turn your Bibles over to Psalms chapter number 119. Psalms 119. You'll stand tonight to every reading of the Word of God. We'll be preaching on a thought tonight, headed the right way. Been said thus far, but I enjoy that scripture there that Brother Gene was reading, and I appreciate the Lord tonight. I mean, I just, you know, over the years I've tried to study the Bible and kind of get familiar with it, but and nothing in myself tonight, but I come in and I heard what Gene was reading and I knew where he was. Familiar with it. Kind of the way the Word of God ought to be in our life. When somebody's reading the Bible or preaching to us, we ought to know enough about it to know if it's right or not. And I thought about what he said there. This is a big world we live in. We're just one person in this big world. But we might be that one person to somebody in this big world. Think about that. Psalms 119, I want to read verse number 33. And they're talking about tonight heading the right way. And Psalms 119, verse number 33 says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I will keep it unto the end." You may be seated. So if we're headed the right way, we need to know which way we're going. And but he also says this right here. I want you to listen here in verse number 45. It says, think about what we just read. Teach me the way of thy statutes or thy law or thy word. And Lord, if you'll do that, I'll keep it unto the end. Verse number 45 says, "I will walk at liberty, for I will seek thy precepts." Not only heading the right way, but God's teaching us His way, and He's going to. I believe He'll teach us unto the end. But also, He said, "If you'll do that, Lord, I'll walk in liberty," which means freedom and not bound down. And just like we preached the other day, not be bound to this world and conform to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind and teaching us to walk the right way. And if we walk the right way unto the end, we'll walk in liberty, and we won't be so worried about a lot of things and where we're going to end up. If we're heading the right way and we stay on the right way unto the end, we're going to end up in heaven one day by the grace of God. And that's our main goal, and that's our main thing. But let's turn over to verse number 105 right here right quick. Now, we read to you there that we started out, "Lord, teach me the way. Teach me the way." And 45 said, if you're taught the way, you'll walk in the liberty and the freedom that's in the Lord. And verse 105 said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Think about when the Lord teaches you the right way, shows you the right way, and you can have confidence and peace in knowing that you're headed the right way. Why is it? Because He said it would be a lamp unto our feet and a light and into our path. I mean, in order to be headed the right way and staying on the right way, we've got to have something to go by. We've got to have a lamp and a light to go by. But I want to start reading right here at verse number 49. I'll look at this tonight, and I'll show you where I got this thought here in a minute. But anyway, in Psalms 119, verse 49 said, "Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope." I mean, if you're headed the right way and God's light is shining on you, it'll bring hope in your life. And not only hope in your life, but it'll bring satisfaction and it'll bring liberty. You got Galatians there in the church. I've read it and said it a lot over the years. He said, "But stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." I mean, if you're headed the right way, they won't be things that's bogging you down. And I know we'll struggle and have trouble along the way, but we ought to have confidence and liberty that's in the Word of God. I mean, there's a lot in this tonight, but let me go on here and get to where I'm going. And verse number 50 said, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." He said, The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. He said, "I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself." So here tonight, as we look and we know if we're headed the right way and God's light and the lamp's guiding us, I believe you can comfort yourself along the way. I mean, we're not going to get into all of the whole lot of this things here, but it goes on down here and talks about the proud, how that they forged a lie against David and brother, and a lot of things going on in his life, but he knows where to comfort himself, being in the Word of God. But he said right here in verse 53, he said, "Honor hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake the law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." He said, "I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept the law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word." Verse number 59. "I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forsaken thy law." Last verse. "At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgment." Back up to verse number 59. "I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies." So tonight, as we look at this and realize that the only way we can get headed the right way is to turn around. The only way how we can get headed the right way is to turn our feet toward heaven, turn our feet toward the Word of God. Now think about it tonight. You'll read there in the Bible how that Moses was on the mountain one day and he saw a bush, it was on fire. And what did the Bible say Moses done? He turned to see what it was. When you look in the Word of God and you see men out doing their own thing, Peter and them out there fishing, Matthew at the seat of custom there, when the Lord had begun to call his name and tell him to follow him, what did he do? I tell you what he done. He turned his feet, he turned around and began to follow the Lord. Now we looked tonight, and we see this, and we live in a dark world, brother. Well, there's a lot of things going on. Corona on the rise again, complication and confusion and all that things that's out there. You'll go on and read down here where David said, when I was afflicted, he said, I turned away. When I was afflicted, when things happened to me, he said, I didn't look at God really like that I needed to look at him. He said, but he goes on to say, he said, I was glad when I was afflicted. Why was that? Because David turned toward the Lord. You remember David, a man that was after God's own heart. He had anointed to be king, and he went down to Jesse's house, and brother told the old prophet to go down there and anoint the one. But when he got down there, he looked at the statue and the size of the other men, and they thought for sure, but that was the one. Listen tonight, guys, you don't have to be a giant for God to use you. God can use little people sometimes. God can use every one of us. But the old man of God said, I'm not satisfied. Do you have another one? He said, yeah, there's one out yonder watching the sheep. They brought him in. And you know what happened? That was the one that God said to anoint to be king over his people. But you look the life of David. Here David was. And brother, there was a time in David's life when he was drawn away by the lust of his own heart. And brother, when he was drawn away from that, from the things of God, there was a woman yonder on the road, bathing, the Bible said. And he looked at her and he said, I've got to have her. And he sent for her and brother and had her. And what happened? I believe David has sinned and come short of the glory of God, just like every one of us does. But if you're reading this book in the 50th chapter and the 51st chapter, you'll see where David said, Lord, I've sinned against thee and heaven only have I sinned. Because there was repercussions of the sin of David, of the woman that he laid with, and the child, and the husband, and on and on and on. But I'm glad tonight God has left us an example here in the Word of God. Here tonight, David failed, and he turned back to God. You can look in the Bible, Moses had those times that Moses failed God, but he turned back to God. Look at Abraham. Abraham failed the Lord, but he turned back to God. Peter denied the Lord, but he turned back to God. Paul was a man, thought that he was doing right, but God blinded him, and he turned to the true and the living God. You'll see through the Bible, guys, I'm not trying to make an excuse for nobody, but I'm saying tonight, beloved, in order for me and you to be headed the right way, sometimes you just got to turn around and head the right way. There was times in my life when I drove a truck on the road, and they had the old big road atlases. I didn't know nothing about how to get nowhere. I thought, well, I'm a little boy out of Reagan Holler, don't know nothing about nothing, thank you. And I went and began to travel, and I began to look, Donnie, at the interstate, I'm 81, the odd numbers going north and south, and the even numbers going east and west. I learned 81, you run 81 up, and you can get on 95, you can go anywhere on the east coast. Go down here to about just a little ways on 81, and it runs into 40. You can go to California on 40, but on the way down there, you get down to about Nashville, you can turn right on 65 and go that way. And I said all that to say this, guys, there'll be times in your life you'll get lost and don't know which way to go. But that's why David said, Lord, you are a light and a lamp unto my feet. And that's why he said, I'm going to hide your word in my heart, that I may not sin again ye. And there ain't been a man alive, or a boy, woman, boy, or girl, sometime in their life ain't been headed the wrong way. But thank God tonight, you can get headed the right way, and think about God, study about
about God and the Word of God, you'll begin to say and see things, and the next thing you know, you'll turn around and get headed the right way. And they, brother, you think about it, Jonah was a man, and then God told him to go down yonder to Nineveh and preach, and that crowd didn't know their hand or their left hand from their right hand, and Jonah didn't want to do that, and Jonah turned and went the wrong way, and bought a ticket and got on a boat, and brother, the boat, he realized that he was the one causing the problem, and jumped overboard and got down there in the belly of the whale, and brother, the Bible said, out of the belly of hell I cried, and Lord, you heard me, and the Bible said that great fish spit Jonah out on the bank, and brother, Jonah ran down there and preached to that crowd down in Nineveh. Hey, out there tonight, I ain't saying that everybody's went the wrong way, but if you're out there tonight and you're headed the wrong way, it's time to turn around and get headed back toward God, and get headed back to the way that God intends us to be headed. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. What do you mean? I mean, we can think we're going the right way, but I tell you what, I preach a gospel that you can know you're going the right way, and the hand and the blessings of God upon your life. We did a funeral home, and brother, they was lined up from everywhere, wasn't it, Danny? I mean, I no doubt hundreds went through there, and brother Richard and Earl and all them, Bailey, 12 young and 10 of them still living. Brother, what a testimony that mom had. And you know what I mean, she said, hey boys, you better get headed the right way, and you better stay with it. If you'll get headed the right way and stay with it unto the end, it'll lead you to heaven one day. Such things out there. Listen, guys, I never will forget, and it's dangerous. I don't know why I'm doing this, going this way tonight, but I remember a few times out there driving a tractor and trailer. Most time I had a big long nose Peterbilt or a W9 Kenworth and a 53-foot dry box behind me. That's a big long thing out there. Ain't been a few times I've got turned around, got on the wrong road, and puberty brought fear on me. I thought, what am I going to happen now? Am I going to run into a low underpass I can't get under? Or going to get to a place where I can't get turned around? I remember a place down in South Carolina, I got off the road, and they called me, and they're on the CB radio, didn't know where I was. I thought that they told me which way to go, and I went that way, and it ended up, Donnie, getting gnarlier and gnarlier, and ended up on sand, and brother, they called me in there to rob me, but God made a way for me to get out of there. Hey, it ought to bring fear in our heart when we're headed the wrong way. It ought to put a reverence and a fear in us when we know we ain't going the right way, but where's our fear? Today, brother, where's our fear out there? I'm knowing you're going the wrong way, and it don't bother you. I believe tonight, beloved, we need to respect the Word of God applied to our hearts and our lives. And if we're heading the right way, we'll know we're going the right way. Amen. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You know if you're going the right way. Let me say this. I've said it over the years. I remember back in 1990, early 91, 92, 93, 94, I felt like the Lord was dealing with me to preach there for a year or two, and I scared to death, and I was afraid to miss church, and I was afraid to miss, but I was afraid to say anything. I thought I'd seen a lot of buddies jump up, and I'm saying this tonight. lives. No doubt, as a young man or a young child of God, being a boy or a man, you'll feel like maybe maybe God's wanting you to preach. But a lot of times, I believe every time God calls one, the devil will call two or three. And I've seen some of them make shipwreck of their life and not being followed and led by God. And I carried that pain for about 2 years. I fell off riding preach of a night in the fields and the hollers and get up in the cold sweat, I would. And I finally carried it long enough. I'm going to church, I sing and testify, or trying to, and me and knowing I wasn't doing what God wanted me to do. But finally one day, praise God, God give me enough courage standing about right here, singing a song, "Is the Lord satisfied with me?" And you know what happened? I turned around and told them, "Hey, tonight, it felt like 1,000,000 pounds lifted off of me. Hey, when you ain't heading the right way, things is heavy on you. They'll burn you down. But God said, we can walk in the liberty of the freedom that's in the Lord. The world is a mess and a lot of things going on here. It ought to trouble you. But I'll tell you one thing, beloved. It ought to get us so down that we can't lift our head and our heart up to God giving praise and honor and glory. And that is, if you're headed the right way." Listen, getting headed the right way. Getting headed the right way. If you're headed the right way, I believe you've got to stay on that way until the end. Not only when you get headed the right way, stay with it until the end. I'll tell you what will happen. It'll bring comfort. It'll bring confidence in your life. It'll bring something that this world can't give you. There is Jesus said, "I'm going to give you a peace that the world ain't got. And the peace I leave with you, boy, it'll go with you." How is it? What do you mean? It doesn't matter what comes your way. If you're headed the right way, the devil will say he ain't the God of the valley. I want you to remember the book of Kings and Ben-Hadad and the Syrian army there, where they tried to get the people of God. I forget how many thousands were slew there when they said he wasn't the God of the valley. It don't matter which way. That seemed like your life's a going. He's the God of the valley. He's the God of the mountain. He's God everywhere. And if you're headed the right way, he'll show himself to you. His word, David said, "I'll hide my heart. Now what? That I may stay headed the right way." If we've got this in our heart, if we've got this in our life, order in the Lord, I pray this every day. Lord, just Lord, protect us from our enemies. I had it by the hand this morning, wasn't it? Every morning, Lord, just protect us from our enemies. Lead us and guide us. Give us a good day in you, Lord. And somewhere along the road, maybe we can make mention to you. You're one in a big world, but you might just be the one that somebody needs in this big world. And they know if you're headed the right way, and there'll be a difference in your life and your walk and your talk and everything about you. I ain't saying tonight I've always headed the right way, and you probably can't either. There's been times, Bud, we probably failed and come short and said, "God, I've been questioned the way we're going." But thank God you can come to your senses and realize that you need to turn around. And then when God gets you turning around, every time you're like Jonah, you'll hit the bank of running. But most of the time, mind your life's like this right here. We're just walking with God. Sometimes he lets us run. Sometimes he lets us fly. But I'll assure you one thing. If we're headed the right way, there'll be a peace and a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Why is that? Because you know you're heading the right way. I told them this for years. We'd go to church, especially when we first got saved. We'd go over through Raytown.
God is my witness. I'd look at Lou and I'd say, Lou, this just seems right. This just feels right. Boy, Donnie, when you're headed to church, you know you're headed the right way. You know when you're headed to church, you're headed the right way. Thank God tonight, I'm losing everything. But I don't want to lose my way, do you? I want to stay with God and just let Him lead me and guide me and order my steps. And during all those things and all the things that comes around us in this Psalms chapter 119, read it. There's a lot in there, a lot of things that David deals with. People he deals with, lies he deals with, deceivers he deals with. But thank God, I like what he said. I thought on my ways. And then what did he do? He said, I turned my feet. And when you get your feet turned, headed the right way, everything else will follow you. I mean, if we're headed the right way and walking with God and communing with God along the way and knowing you're going the right way, I'll guarantee you the showers of blessings will be upon your life. I seen them at the funeral home a while ago. Some of them used to come here, had so much condemnation on their face, and are looking at the ground, wouldn't look in the eyes. Why is that? Because maybe they wouldn't head the right way, and too ashamed to look at you. I've been there, beloved. You've been there, and not doing right, not going the right way. But when God gets you to turn around, you're looking a man in the face. Papa always told me, my Estelle Reagan, I was named after him, they called him Doc. He said, Paul, don't you ever trade with a man who won't look you in the eye. And I've thought a lot about that over the years. And preaching and living for God and fellowshipping one with another, there ain't no difference. If you're too ashamed to look at me when you talk, you ain't heading the right way. You're looking at the ground. But I won't be looking at that. I want to look ahead, don't you? I want to look up because I know my redemption draws. Now, somebody said up at the funeral home, what about retiring and getting out? I said, I'll be 61 here in a little bit, and won't be long. The Lord tired, let me live, be 62. I ain't working all my life for somebody else. I'd just like to go. I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying tonight, I like to live out the rest of my days walking for Jesus, doing what I can to make a difference in somebody else's life, to get them to turn around. I know out there tonight, there's a lot of them don't like me, but I tell you one thing, you may not like me, but you'll have to say, bless God. Me heading the wrong way, and we get headed the right way, we'll have fellowship one with another. Whoopee, I better quit. I'm about to get in the flesh. But you know, Moses smoked that rock. People didn't realize the people's one made him mad, wasn't he? I got to try to keep that under control. We keep that under control, Donnie. You know where we'd be? We'd be headed the right way. And we'd be listening. God can take a little flock and make an army out of them. David said, well, David counted them one time. The Lord didn't like that, did he? Tell you what, God can take a little boy and feed a multitude. God can take anybody that's headed the right way and be a blessing to somebody else. Guys, that's what it's all about, is being a help to one another, to help us keep us headed the right way. There's a lot out there going the wrong way. But I tell you what, somewhere in my bones, in my heart, in my soul, I can't help but to think, Willard, Danny, they look and they say, I wish I was headed the way they are. I used to do that. I'd see them old-time saints of God, me, my trading wasn't good. I wouldn't look at them face, but I'd see them go sideways or walking off from me, Patsy, and I'd think they're headed the right way, and I need to be. Guys, that's what it is. It's a challenge for us to look and study and think about God's Word. But when you get it right down in here on the inside, you know what will happen? You'll be headed somewhere, And you'll say, which way do I go? And he'll come to you. Luke 66. Here it is. Luke 66. Here it is. And when you get that, when you get headed the right way, you'll have comfort, peace, and joy in your heart and in your life. That's what it's all about, guys, is being headed the right way. When you get headed the right way, you have liberty. You have freedom. You have joy. You have peace. You'll have comfort. Storms along the way. Bad weather along the way. High waters along the way. But you know what? God will get you through. He said, boys, we're going to the other side. I'm going to go down here and lay my head on a pillow. And I may just take a little nap. But we're going to the other side. Waves get up. Storms go to all that. Like Jonah and them, they got throwing stuff overboard and everything else. He got to where he should have been. And them boys got to that Gadarene country over there where there was somebody over there that had a need. Oh boy, they chained up in the graveyard, going the wrong way for a long time. Jesus got him going the right way, didn't he? You know what happened? He said, can I follow you? He said, no, go back and show your family which way you're headed. Church, I love you and I appreciate you tonight. I hope something's been said to help you and bless you and strengthen you. Keep you headed on the right way. There's a broad road out there that there's a lot on. There's a gnarly road out there, a few will be on. But the thing about it is, though, it ain't crowded. You don't run over one another. It's a gnarly road. But you can walk on it, and you'll have peace and joy and comfort. And somewhere down in that road, there'll be large places appear in your life. Let's stand to our feet. Praise the Lord, Johnny. Thank you for telling us late. Appreciate everybody coming tonight. And I hope we can continue on the right way. And I know we can. God wants us to. We just got to make our mind up, don't we? Anything before we dismiss tonight? Good to have everybody with us. You go.